and welcome to Culture Talks. We are Heather and Shyla, the regional managers of Crown's Global Skills team. I'm Heather, I'm based in the UK, and I oversee programmes in the EMEA and the Americas regions.
Hello, I'm Shyla, I'm based in Hong Kong, and I oversee programmes in Asia Pacific.
Today is our last season special of season one, and we are recording this at the end of December. This is a time when many minds are turning to the new year, to resolutions, to fresh starts. And today, we hope, is a joyful roundup and recognition of how different cultures around the world celebrate this time.
So whether your new year is 31st December, Lunar New Year, Diwali, Nowruz, or Muharram, making a new year comes with lots of different traditions. Today, we're going to take a look at some of those traditions and what they mean in that culture. So whether you're looking for luck, love, or prosperity, this episode is going to give you a whole to-do list to ensure your new year brings whatever you're looking for.
It certainly will. It's been so much fun pulling this together, and I think really underlined that although the action or the tradition might look different, the reasons why we're doing them are so similar. We all really want the same things.
Absolutely. So let's start with looking at love and red underwear.
Yes, you will be surprised how often red underwear come up in this episode. We did think about calling it New Year, New Pants, but did not think we could get it past. Okay, so if you are preparing for love in the new year, when it starts off, if you are in Brazil in particular, selecting your underwear very carefully is very important. And if you are looking for love in the new year, you should wear red. If you're looking for luck, incidentally, you should wear yellow. And if you want peace in the new year, you should wear white. So once you've got your underwear on, it doesn't just stop there. Obviously, there is the kiss at midnight. Now, not only is that a hope for romance, but in English and German folklore, it's believed that the first person you come into contact with dictates that year's whole destiny.
Wow. So choose those partners wisely.
Right. There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And the last step of your New Year, New Love action plan is to put a sprig of mistletoe under your pillow. You could also choose holly or ivy, but I do feel like holly would be very prickly to try and sleep with. So put a sprig of mistletoe under your pillow on the 31st of December and you will dream of your future partner. That's an Irish tradition.
Wow, it sounds like a three-step process, a guaranteed recipe for success.
We're totally going to patent it and make our fortune. Speaking of that, let's move on to luck, but still with red underwear.
Oh, gosh, it's back again. But this time in Italy, where you wear red underwear, bought for you and not by yourself. And it's for New Year, for luck, fertility and protection against evil spirits.
Right. Who knew there was so much to red underwear? I mean, maybe the audience did, but we didn't.
But, you know, it's not just underwear. In Hong Kong, if you're gambling, which is a huge thing during the Chinese New Year, you need to wear red to ensure that all your luck is in. It's really important.
Yeah, excellent tips. But if you do not fancy hitting a casino and you want to stay home, you can still increase your luck by getting involved with first footings. So that is ensuring that the first person through your door in the new year is either a tall, dark, handsome male stranger carrying coal or a child. And whether you want one or the other depends on whether you are in Scotland or in Greece. So in Scotland, they're hoping you're a hot man. While in Greece, the person who first foots is either someone who's considered lucky or a child because children are innocent and pure. So that person is sent outside. They're ordered to re-enter the house right foot first. That's very important to bring good luck into the following year. How cool is that?
I love it. It sounds like a really lovely tradition. And actually, Denmark has a tradition for luck if you want to stay at home. Throwing away old plates. This is meant to bring your loved ones the best of luck. Tradition has it that the more broken kitchenware you accumulate on your doorstep, the better off you'll be.
How good is that? So New Year, basically, we're looking for hot men or kids running around smashing plates and then trying to get in your house. I don't know. There's never been a traditional recipe for success.
Well, Heather, we have not mentioned, you know, food at this stage.
That's true. How could we have come this far into this episode and not talked about food?
Always a lot of traditional food at this time of the year. In fact, in Japan at New Year's, you eat toshikoshi soba noodles for luck, and the noodles represent a bridge between the 2 years.
Yeah, it's so lovely, isn't it? What a lovely image. Over in the Czech Republic, you need to be eating carp, and in Italy, you need to be eating lentils. These are the must-have treats on the New Year's table because they symbolize abundance and luck.
Oh, yes, I know. Fish is eaten a lot during the Lunar New Year.
Mm,
And lastly, if you're feeling energetic, needing to burn off all this food, and if you're
yeah.
near a beach in Brazil, go and jump the first 7 waves and make a wish. Or if you want something a bit more relaxing, eat 7 grapes and make a wish.
Beach in Brazil sounds quite nice. And actually, do you know what? Numbers are a really, really big thing, aren't they? They come up and some of them come up again and again. Seven, as you just said there, 7 waves, 7 grapes in Brazil. And also 12 are really represented in a few cultures. You know, for Nowruz, the main table decoration at New Year involves placing 7 symbolic foods and spices that begin with S. And in Spain, it's 12 grapes that you eat at midnight to boost your chance of a prosperous and lucky New Year. But only if you manage to eat all 12 grapes in a matter of seconds, because they need to be gone by the time the clock finishes striking midnight.
So 1 grape with each chime of the clock. I think that's pretty doable. I could try that.
Give it a go, let me know. So let's have a look at prosperity, wealth, and good fortune, because numbers also come up there too. In the Philippines, again, 12. For them, it's 12 round fruits on the table because that round shape mirrors coins. And so that's what's going to bring prosperity and money.
And again, staying with that theme of food, there's a lot of prosperity and wealth connected with food in Czech Republic. You eat lentils, pork knuckles, pickles to bring wealth and happiness. And in the US, you'd eat hopping john, which is a black-eyed peas, pork, and rice dish. And again, here it is, the shape of the food, you know, the different types of food in this dish. Part of it represents either paper money or coins. So, and you can even boost that, you know, with adding a coin under your plate.
It's so interesting, this idea of using food as symbolisms, isn't it? Because actually, the cultures we've just been talking about really focus on using food to boost your future good fortune. Whereas in Islamic New Year, the tradition is to fast, so to abstain from food for a certain period of time. And one of the many reasons that people do this is to recognize the good fortune that you already have. So, yeah, gratitude for the now, I guess.
And I think symbolism of using food is even seen in India during the New Year. If the tradition is to make something sweet, you know, something sweet, but you don't eat it at first. First, you offer it to the gods as part of, you know, bringing you prosperity and wealth. And actually, you know, this idea of offerings is also important in China to bring wealth. Red envelopes with money inside are given out. Grown-ups give them to children. And they're also given in the workplace as well, the red envelopes. And it's all to do with hierarchy. You know, your boss gives you the red envelope with money in it.
I actually remember loving getting those red envelopes as a child in Hong Kong. But there again is the color red. You know, red signifies prosperity and good luck. Yeah, it's interesting. Now, lastly, in Colombia, if wealth and good fortune to you, like me, equates being able to travel a lot, people take an empty suitcase, I don't know whether it needs to be red, and they run around the block as fast as they can. And that's supposed to guarantee a year filled with travel. And I don't know about you, Shiloh, but I might pop up into the roof and get my travel bags down, give that one a little go.
I think so, me too as well. So while there's a lot of looking forward in the new year, there's also a desire to ward off the bad and out with the old and in with the new mentality, right?
Yeah, definitely. And so here's where most people, especially in Western cultures at the calendar New Year, that's where we focus, right? You know, because Christmas is all about luxury and self-indulgence and excess. The New Year is when we look to make a clean start.
And some of us want a financial cleanse, so we make resolutions to be more sensible with the money. Others of us focus on inner cleanse, you know, weight loss, going to the gym, or, you know, even giving up smoking.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and sticking with the idea of using your body to cleanse, in the UK, a big thing is cold dips, like a New Year cold dip, and not, as Shyla initially thought, the cold dips which are like hummus,
Okay, I understood it when you explained it to me. I've got it clear now. I understand what you meant.
She thought she was learning a new British tradition that she does not know existed. But what I was really meaning was that in the UK, often people on New Year's Day go for a swim in the sea to wash off the old, so that kind of old dip. Either that or washing your front door, you know, maybe once you've swept all of those lucky smashed plates off the step.
All right. Yeah. Cleansing is actually really definitely a big thing around the whole world, actually. Yeah. So Lunar New Year starts with the whole new set of buying, you know, cleaning utensils. Mm-hmm. You clean the house, get rid of all the dust and dirt from previous years. Whereas in Ireland, traditionally, you bang Christmas bread on the walls of your home. It's supposed to chase any bad spirits out of the house. And, you know, when you start off the new year with a clean slate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess then you'd need to use your new cleaning utensils to clean up the crumbs. And another take on the idea of a clear out is in Naples, where they quite literally throw old furniture out of a house. Can you imagine, like, just seeing a table flying out the window? But that's meant to banish bad memories and welcome a new start. Although I do think now that they only throw out soft items, so maybe just a sofa.
So interesting, right? How different cultures protect and ward off the bad through different means.
Yeah.
I think, you know, symbolism, fire is used in so many cultures at this time of the year. You know, like candles for Diwali, torchlight processions for Hogmanay, or jumping bonfires in Noros. And this is why fireworks also have become so popular for a New Year celebration.
Yeah, of course. They're so huge.
Yeah, and I think fireworks first started to be used because they were thought to ward off evil spirits and misfortune. Mm-hmm. But it's the noise and the smoke and the firepower, all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Energy. There's actually a whole town in Taiwan that every year has a firework festival where rockets and firecrackers are aimed deliberately into a very willing crowd. The tradition was started to ward off the plague, which had decimated the town hundreds of years ago. So yeah, fireworks used there.
So normally you try to avoid getting hit by fireworks, right?
Yeah, you do. It's a very different experience to how you would normally act around fireworks, definitely. But actually, speaking of things that you need to avoid.
Please share. This sounds like a good link.
Uh-huh. Excellent link. So on New Year's, you need to make sure that you are avoiding doing your laundry, eating chicken or turkey, or even cutting or washing your hair. Those are considered bad luck in the Czech Republic, the US, and in China, respectively.
Wow, that's a lot to consider, right?
There's a lot.
Yeah. And I think if you've got to the end of this podcast and think, nah, I think I'll just make my normal New Year's resolution, never fear, you're also sticking with an age-old tradition. Resolutions at the end of the calendar year date back to the Babylonians over 4,000 years ago.
Yeah, how cool is that? And I mean, I know you normally say it, Shaila, but do we sound so clever?
Of course we do.
So today we've looked at how culture talks when starting the new year. We've given you, we hope, some great to-dos if you're looking for love or luck or money, or just to shake off the old from the year before. And as ever, we want to leave you with a question.
Is the question, who are you buying red underwear for?
I couldn't possibly speak for anybody else. Or maybe the question could be, what are you hoping for from your new year or new beginning? What cultural traditions might you be employing to ensure you get it? So as ever, thank you for listening. Shaila, it is always a joy. This is our last episode of the season of Culture Talks.